Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Thanks again for joining us. This is episode 153 from Clever Crow Farm. Great to be back here with you, and we're doing a little bit of traveling now.
Yeah. This is, the fourth or fifth episode since we've been mobile?
Yeah, I think the fourth or fifth episode. I think we're kind of on a farm tour.
Yeah.
Is what we've been up to lately.
Yep. I think this is sort of a bit of an example of what we were aiming to do, what the whole idea of going mobile was, to be able to go out to some of these local farms and take a look at what's going on the field, so to speak, or
see what's happening. And so, of course, we brought in our two favorite guinea pigs. And we have Brian and Leah today from Clever Crow Farm and every other amazing thing that you guys are doing up here. And my old neighbors, which I miss so much. Like, I miss the old days when we got to hang out on the back patio after a hard night of working in the kitchen. But it's I thought it'd be great just to come out. And we talked about this a couple times, just coming out and sitting down in your store and talking about what you guys are up to.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming out. This is great to see you again.
Yeah. I mean, I think this actually, not that there's any competition or anything, but next to Arzina, I think that you guys are our most frequent guests. Like we're always every couple of or every 30 or so episodes, we're checking in with you, seeing how things are going. And I have to say, this is my first time at Clever Crow, and I am thoroughly impressed. Like, this is amazing what you guys have going on here.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, love what's going on. We just did a little tour of the property.
You guys are just in planting season and just sort of getting the greenhouses going. And maybe we should let you guys just talk about what's happening on the farm right now. I guess Brian's the guy to focus on.
Yeah, I got lots of sort of planting stuff going on, sort of in my polytunnels. I'm sort of getting rid of the stuff that's overwintered and starting to replant with the spring stuff. And even in some of the fields, I just planted some spinach and seeded some radishes that should be pretty hardy. I'll probably cover them up over the evenings and let them go during the day. But I've got lots of tomatoes going, potting them up yesterday. And lots of stuff going on. The greenhouses are filling up.
I see you're hard at work with a rototiller.
Yep.
Had a bit of sweat going there when we walked in today. So how's that going? Like, how much, I don't know if we've actually ever talked about this, because we've talked about the salts, but I don't think we've actually got to talk about your farm here. How about we just give everyone just where you guys are located?
Sure. We're at 7911 Island Highway in Black Creek, or just north of Endall Road, right across from the community church.
Right.
And we have 5 acres out here. We're loving it. And it's a great location. I find we're halfway between Campbell River and Courtney Comox.
Yeah.
So that's great. Two different markets to kind of reach out to. And we're so far away from either of them, but we have, we're on the Oyster River water system, which is great for us. It was made it so easy to put in the commercial kitchen, which is a big part of our business that we want to grow.
Beautiful. So we're actually recording out of this kitchen, and it's absolutely beautiful here. I love it. But beyond just the greens, there was more. I didn't even realize. I thought you did, you know, the salts, and which has definitely been a product that you've had for a while. And then I knew that you had gotten into greens, but until we got here, I didn't realize that you're doing ducks and chickens and other fowl.
Yep. Well, we've been doing, I love ducks. So we've been doing ducks pretty much since we started.
Right.
So we've been raising them, and so that's been great. Love having them. But that's a little bit on the small side. And we've mostly been doing layer hens up until last year, where we experimented with doing some meat birds and coming up with a system of sort of pasture poultry raising them.
Right.
And we got 80 little birds right now on their way. So a couple Fantastic. Different stages. So we'll keep that going throughout the summer.
Yeah, well, it seems like you got a lot on the go here. So I'm trying to just, in my brain, trying to figure out where do we even start with this, because you've got the salts going.
Yeah.
And I know, Leah, you were talking about how you had some new salts that you're working on.
Yeah, well, we had a film crew from Quebec come out to the farm last summer, and they were. It's a show called Le Goût de Pays. It's on Uni TV. So the host, part of what they wanted to do is have the host create a salt, a sea salt. And so he went down to a drying room and he pulled out some different herbs and spices and the salt. And we made up a smoked paprika salt. So it was from paprika that we grew last year in the greenhouse. And then I smoked it all to dry it and also to give it a nice smoky flavor.
Right.
And then he grabbed some dried garlic scapes and some citrus zest. And so we made a smoked paprika sea salt with a little bit of garlic and a little bit of citrus.
Wow.
And it turned out to be so great that it's now part of our regular lineup of salt flavors. Really super good. It's like really nice as a rub on chicken and roast potatoes, any meats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anything? Yeah.
Just perfect. To add that smoky flavor to it. And
yeah. And so I think Brian's going to grow me a lot more paprika this year.
Yeah, we got a lot of paprika peppers on the go, as well as some
can
other
you say
hot
that 10 times?
And,
and so then beyond the salts, you do, there's some preserves and other.
Yeah, actually, Brian does, he does the Brian's Burger Relish, which
yeah,
become
I'm
a really,
with some
yeah,
of that relish.
Yeah,
today,
so. That's become a really big seller. He started making kimchi, and that's people are loving it. It's
got
not
some
it's
at
not
the
as,
market, and I was loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too spicy.
No, like
it's more mild kimchi
and it's super healthy for
and
you.
In the
right?
summer, we're able to use our own carrots and cabbage.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Garlic and that
yeah.
Kind of
that's
stuff.
Where a lot of this stuff started from is sort of to find a way to use sort of the bounty when we have it. When you have zucchinis,
right.
you have tons of zucchinis and the price at the market just starts to drop. And so we'll just try to find like another use for them and
great.
Make relish with a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and
Brian
same
Burger
with
relish was born.
That's where the
zucchinis.
Kimchi started, our carrots and our green onions and the Napa cabbage. I started that last year and it went really well for me. So
you also have the spice and herb blends,
which I
didn't realize until we were here I just assumed that you're bringing in products from elsewhere or beefing it up with some other products. I didn't realize that all of those spice blends you're doing here.
Yeah, we make them all. We can't grow everything that's in the all the spice blends, but like our Herb de Comox Valley is like an Herb de Provence, so
right.
we grow all of those herbs and we're drying herbs all summer. And yeah, and we have a steak spice that uses our salt and our coriander seeds and dill seed. Can't grow black pepper here yet, but
it's on your plans. Is that what I heard?
Well, we could grow black pepper here. We would, but it's more definitely more of a tropical.
And so beyond just the food and the food preparation that you do here, the raising of the food that you do here, the growing of the food, you also do food classes on occasion. I've known. I still kick myself for not being able to make that cheese class. I really, really wanted to do that one. That was like a year or so ago.
Yeah, I think it was about 2 years ago. Last year we did an Italian cooking class with Katie Phelan out of Beaufort and Honey Grove.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and that one went really well. And this year, April 22nd and the 29th, we have Avi Sternberg. He's a culinary teacher up at North Island College.
Right.
He spent, he's new to the Valley, like just this year.
Right.
He's going to do a class on Japanese farmhouse style cooking, focusing on dashi, the making of dashi from the things that we have here in the Comox Valley. And doing sort of use some appetizers and stews and some salads and focus on like the plating of Japanese food. And we're going to do a sake tasting. So I've bought four different cool sakes, some from Vancouver and some from Japan. And so we're going to try those when we sit down at the end of the class and eat together. That's coming up and that's pretty exciting. And other than that, we're always open to people giving us proposals for teaching classes here.
Well, how many people do you have for classes here?
10 is sort of the max that we would take at a time because we don't have a huge space. Yeah, sort of groups of 10.
So I guess you sort of break down the whole store. Is that how this works? Or I'm just looking. It's kind of neat actually to have this podcast to be here in the store and in the kitchen together. So I can be like, oh, because like you guys got this amazing selection of cookbooks here. Like I know Darren was eyeing them all up when you walked in.
And lots of great little cooking paraphernalia, little like kitchen gadgets that are definitely required. I was really surprised at how much you have here.
And you've got lots of great products. And we were just going over all those herbs and spices and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to imagine when people come in here for a cooking class.
So we just sort of, we kind of move the big, those big racks. We sort of slide them out of the way. We put some chairs around. The cooking class is done around the stainless steel counters. It works.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then whenever we do the dinner, if it's outside, if the weather's great, then we set up a big long table outside and fancy it up as best we can here. And if not, then we just move everything out of the center of the kitchen and then we set up a table there.
Right there.
We eat in the middle of the kitchen.
And who plays the piano?
Brian.
Hardly.
Yeah, neither of us really. But occasionally we have people who come in. Oh, I wish I can remember the guy's name. Something Fingers. He's from Vancouver. He came in and asked if he could play the piano. He didn't tell me who he was. I was like, sure. His wife did some shopping. He was like this amazing jazz pianist.
Oh, you're kidding.
He just played for about 20 minutes. And then on his way out, I was like, what's your name? And then he told me, and right now I can't remember, but Fingers is in the name.
Interesting.
And then I Googled him, and he's like super big in Vancouver.
Big famous piano player.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. So it's here for anyone to play.
I just thought it was something to break up the drying room from the kitchen. No.
No, it came with the house from 1935.
So we've talked now about the things that you do have. What kind of things are you working on, whether that's growing or whether that's new food products or new upcoming classes? What's to come?
I don't know. Getting through the summer.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, the summer's always big. So then we go into doing usually 3 markets a week, and we have the farm stores busy. Lots of people come here now.
Right.
And then, you know, we're selling between eight and 10 different restaurants every week. So we have our...
What are you supplying the restaurants
A lot
with?
Of greens.
Like yeah, I was going to say, I think we covered this in the last
Masuna,
one.
Salad mix.
Great.
Yeah.
I know I was getting quite a nice supply from you.
Yeah.
You remember what? I was getting greens from you and some other things, I think. And it was fabulous. Like,
yeah,
it was
nice I just would text you. I like to text the chefs. And I'm like, this is what we have. Who wants it?
Yeah.
You know, it was great because Lee would be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you need this? I'm like... yes, I do. That's perfect. Yes. Like, okay, I'll meet you back in half an hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great just to get these. And it was great because you have these fresh vegetables and greens and all these wonderful things from you guys. And then to be able to turn around and like an hour later, be able to serve the customer this fresh off the farm. That's only 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a neat feeling to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And things must be going well for you. I mean, I can only assume just because this is, I've always seen this place from Facebook photos. I hadn't actually visited the farm, but it seems to be much bigger than the Facebook photos showed. And that, not only that, but just the fact that you've taken your, the most recent Facebook photos where you had taken your greens washing station, which was considerably smaller, and now you're turning it into a full scale.
Yeah,
Brian, so I can only assume that means things are going well.
Yeah, we got given a washing machine, and yeah. Brian has converted it.
I've cut it up and ripped it apart and rewired it and turned it into a large salad spinner because the greens, we used to do them in the kitchen here.
Right.
So they would come in with the dirty totes, and then they would go into the sink, and then they'd go through the 3 sinks and then to the salad spinner, and then all get piled up on the counter. So we just come up with the better then bagged and
it looks like a big operation now.
Yeah, so we've come up, we have like the 2 sinks out there, and then a rinsing sink with that rinse them out a bit before they go into the salad spinner, and then the large washing machine salad spinner where a large tote spins around in the washing machine and spinning all the water out. And then so the flow of food comes from outside to a gravel area, then they get dumped into the to the sinks, which is on a concrete pad, which we can keep nice and clean.
Right.
And then from there, it'll progressively move closer and closer to the walk-in cooler. So then they'll just get bagged and into the walk-in cooler. And
That's brilliant.
From there, then the bags can come out individually, come in here and get bagged up as we need them. So it'll streamline that whole process and make that a lot better.
That's fantastic.
Better. Yeah.
I was just going to say, and is it still just the two of you with some seasonal help?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So last year we started using a website called workaway.com and helpx.com. And it's just sort of matching travelers from all over the world who are interested in doing some farm work, or it can be anything. It can be if you need your house painted, Interesting. Go on this website and you can find some. They're into wanting a cultural stay. So they want to meet a Canadian family, and they want sort of more of a family setting to stay in and get to eat some home-cooked meals. And wow. In trade for that, so in trade for room and board, they'll work 6 hours a day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, for whatever you need being done. And so that was very helpful to us last year. So a couple times we had two people at a time. Mostly it was just singles and staying between 2 and 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Staying between 2 and 3 weeks at a time. And it just, we would never have had done it without them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know something like that existed. That's
great. No, it's great. It's a wonderful experience because you have them here, especially when you have two of them. And, you know, we just work all real hard all morning, and then we can, in the middle of the summer, go down to the Solom River or up to the Oyster River potholes and jump in and have a swim in the afternoon. We can actually get the day done while they're still, still some time to go for a swim.
You can still enjoy the surrounding
still enjoy
area.
Some of it.
Not working the whole
time. And whenever we have two of them, one person works inside with me and one is outside with Brian, and then the next day they switch. So everyone's learning a variety of things and just getting lots of good work done.
It must be great for you, because they must bring something for you. I mean, something to the table as well that you can learn from them, right? Is that what you're finding? Like, you were talking about your whole setting up the shop here the other day.
Oh, yes. Yes, we had the lovely young guy from Germany stay with us a few weeks ago, and he was really keen on wanting to change things around in the store, and that he had taken marketing and various studies in university that he had just finished. And I said, well, go for it. Spend 3 hours and rearrange my store for me.
Oh, wow.
And so he did. And he moved like all the kind of little gift boxes, moved them closer to the cash area. And he's like, and the next day someone bought a gift box.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I was like, it was like right in front of him. So he was like all super stoked. See, it works. And so anyways, that was just kind of a fun experience, because who doesn't want someone to come in and change up their store for them?
I'm sort of in awe right now, because it's kind of fun. And you know what's nice, that like we haven't had a chance to sit down in the longest time, so kind of nice to catch up. And it was great to do that little farm tour and just see what's happening out here.
So rather than growing a lot of new stuff this year, we're looking at sort of doing what we've been growing the best and what we've had the most success with. And salad greens is one thing that I haven't been able to produce enough to sort of for the market and for the restaurants and for everyone who wants them, for the farm stand here. So that's something that I'm working on growing a lot more of this year, as well as I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with carrots. So certainly plan to get that dialed in a little bit better. Sort of being a new farm and breaking old hay fields and stuff like that, just the weeds are my biggest problem, is coming up with a system where you can seed the carrots and get the weeds under control and without them, you know, growing over. So the carrots I've had have been excellent, but the beds that I've lost have been I don't know, it makes me cry sometimes. Tilling in carrots that are only, you know, a bed that's only like half full of carrots. You know, sort of between the germination and stuff, but I've slowly been working on that. So plan to do a lot more of that. And spinach, I got a lot of spinach coming up. I've been seeding lots of spinach and started planting it. So that's one that, tons of people are always asking for. So working on doing that a lot more, and radishes and sort of focusing on things that we do sort of do really well, and things that I can process, and or things that have worked for me in the past of processing. So the Napa cabbage, and for the kimchi and the zucchinis for the burger relish. And
Awesome.
So a lot, just doing a lot more of the same
dialing
stuff
in sort of what's
and
been working for
in
us.
But you guys already have a lot of products. You don't need to really be moving into, I mean, it's curious and interesting to see what you've got cooking next, but the fact is, just being able to maintain what you do make already is that's quite a feat in itself.
It is. Like, I was even doing some bread for a while, and we kind of had to drop that because it's just too much, and I haven't been consistent about it. So
where would you find the time?
Pretty much. It was one thing when we first started, but now as we sort of growing and adding all this stuff to it, now it's time to look at what's, you know, really is working for us. So
great.
So have you been doing any preserving of any meats lately since our last episode? I just put that pressure on you.
No, I haven't really. Just some duck prosciutto. I've done a little bit of that.
Nice.
So I haven't really done too much.
Yeah.
You're going to be part of the charcuterie workshop.
Yeah, the Chefs Association's doing that charcuterie workshop April. I don't know.
It's April.
Second week in April, yeah. I think.
April,
the Sunday, Monday.
15th, 16th.
That sounds about right, I think. It's horrible. I'm here with
if you go to the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association website, I believe there's a link there. So.
Yeah.
How's that, Mike?
And that's good. That's
the president of the association.
No,
okay.
Down.
All right.
I'm off the hook now.
You are.
If this was a year ago, I'd be in trouble. But
great. Okay, so we know everybody knows where to find you. You'd given us your address already, but how do people find you otherwise if they want to contact you before coming out here or just check in with you before?
Get into a cooking class or such.
Yeah,
they can always send us an email at clevercrowfarm@gmail.com. They can give me a call at 250-465-0448.
Okay.
See if we're open, see if we have what you're looking for.
Right.
Find out about upcoming classes. You can be put on a list where I can email you when things happen. And it is our goal, hopefully over the next 5 years, to really have some consistency in the cooking classes. And,
right.
And have a regular sort of schedule, maybe something once a month. That's like a, that's a goal. It's a dream.
Right.
So I would like to use this space more.
Yeah.
Bring people out here.
You got this beautiful spot, so why not bring people?
And it truly is beautiful. Yeah. Like, I would absolutely love to take spend a day here learning to cook something specific. It's beautiful.
Anytime, Darren.
All right.
Well, I guess we could probably stay here all day and chat, and I figure.
And we probably will, but maybe after we put the mics down.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us, and we'll definitely be back again. Don't worry. Make sure I'll bring my power cord next time.
Well,
great.
Coming.
It's awesome that you're mobile.
Yeah.
Came out here, and look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah. Right. No, we're excited, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast.
If we haven't covered something here that, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us in a lot of places.
We always love to hear feedback from our listeners, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little 2 cents of how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I would like just to say, if there's anyone out there that is doing this currently or is about to get into this or know someone who's doing one of these few things, we would love to talk to you. So I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah.
New caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
It always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water.
Yeah.
Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. There's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do those sort of foodie dinner groups. We would love to talk to you, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at theediblevalley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter at Edible Valley, Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.